Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The January 6th committee subpoenas former President Donald Trump. What happens next? And how the Fed is looking at the path of future interest rate hikes. Plus, more than a year after being separated from their families, many unaccompanied children from Afghanistan that are now here in the U.S. are still waiting to be reunited with their parents.
The day that I was separated from my family, it was hard because I didn't know anything. I was just a 16-year-old girl who were, like, lost.
It's Friday, October 21st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Former President Donald Trump has been subpoenaed by the House Select Committee investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. The panel had voted to do so at its hearing last week. The subpoena requests that Trump appear on November 14th for deposition testimony in Washington or by video conference. It also asks him to produce documents by November 4th. Trump hasn't indicated whether he'll cooperate, but he hasn't ruled it out either. A lawyer representing Trump said the subpoena will be reviewed while criticizing the committee for its public release. Former Trump advisor Steve Bannon has been sentenced by a federal judge to 4 months in prison for defying a subpoena from the same House panel. The judge says Bannon will remain free while he appeals his conviction on 2 counts of contempt of Congress. Bannon is facing other legal challenges. He was indicted in New York in September on charges of money laundering in connection with an alleged scheme to defraud donors to a border wall nonprofit. He's pleaded not guilty to those charges. Federal Reserve officials are expected to raise interest rates by another 0.75 percentage point at their meeting in November and are debating the path of future rate hikes. Some Fed policymakers have signaled they want to slow down the pace of increases and stop raising rates early next year in the hopes of avoiding an economic slowdown that's too sharp. But others have said it's too soon to ease up on rate hikes with inflation still high. The Fed has 2 more policy meetings left this year. The next one is coming up November 1st and 2nd. And thanks to inflation adjustments, millions of Americans will be able to save more in their retirement accounts next year. The Internal Revenue Service is raising the employee contribution limit for 401k and similar workplace plans by $2,000 to $22,500 for 2023. Benefits provider Milliman says that's the largest increase ever in terms of dollars and percentage. Coming up, in the chaotic U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, hundreds of children were separated from their families and came to the U.S. without either parent. Why, over a year later, they're still waiting to be reunited. We'll have more after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
When the U.S. withdrew from Afghanistan in August of 2021, thousands of people rushed to Kabul's airport, desperate to board flights out of the country. You can hear some of that desperation in this recording by the Afghan news channel Tolo News. In that chaos, families were torn apart. More than 1,500 children made it to the U.S. without either parent. Now, more than a year later, they're still struggling to reunite with their families. The Wall Street Journal's foreign affairs reporter Jessica Donati met some of these children and the people taking care of them, and she joins me now. Hi, Jessica. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jessica, the Biden administration had said any family separated at the Kabul airport is eligible for a seat on a limited number of evacuation flights. So why are there still so many children in the U.S. without their parents, and where are they living?
The problem is that despite more than a year having passed since these people were separated, there still is no official process for reuniting your family. So if you are a child or a parent who has lost a relative, there's no central place that you can go to send the data. The official policy, as you said, is that everyone has a right to be evacuated. But there's an extremely long list of people who are eligible to be evacuated. That includes relatives of Americans, of residents, of certain visa applicants. So in all, you could be looking at something like 250,000 people.
And Jessica, you spoke to a few of these children and the people who are now caring for them. Tell us about who you met.
One Afghan child that I talked to is a teenager called Masa Zarabi, and she's now living with a foster family in Stafford, Virginia, after being evacuated from Kabul Airport last year on her own after losing her mom and siblings at the airport. This is what she told me.
I left Afghanistan after 7 days the Taliban took over. I never thought that I would separate from my family for this long. The days that I was separated from my family, it was hard because I didn't know anything. I was just 16 years old girl who were like lost. That was my worst day of my life. That I still I have nightmare from that days.
Masa was flown to the US and she spent about a month in government care and then was released to an aunt. When the aunt didn't receive the benefits that she was hoping to get for looking after Masa, she left her in an unfinished basement without a bed, didn't provide her with toiletries and enough food. And Masa suffered a panic attack and she turned up in a local ER. A local healthcare worker was alerted to the situation, came by the house and was alarmed by her living conditions. And this is a really critical part because the healthcare worker tapped her local network to see if there was anyone who could help the girl out. Masa asked to be taken to a shelter. She really wanted to leave. Unfortunately, a young couple through this church network was found and took her in.
I can't imagine what an ordeal that would be for a 16-year-old. What happened next, Jessica? Tell us about the couple who she is with now.
She was very lucky because in this church network, there was a young couple who were looking for ways to help. Philip Williams was serving in the military. He just finished up a tour in Hawaii.
We are looking for ways that we could help. We were involved in English as a second language training out of our church and continued to develop relationships with the Afghans who are resettled in our area.
She's moved into their house. She has her own bedroom. She's very happy there.
What about the government? Did she receive any help from federal agencies?
Unfortunately, resettlement agencies haven't been given uniform guidance over how to deal with these situations. So children like Masa and even much younger aren't able to advocate for themselves. And often you see that the resettlement agencies haven't even started to gather the data that they need to send to the State Department to get their families on the radar for evacuation. I reached out to the refugee agency, the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, and they declined to comment on her case. And I asked the State Department about the process for reuniting families and about the cases that we discussed in the story. And they told us that for privacy reasons, they couldn't talk about the individual cases, but outlined their plan for getting an online portal where family members can upload their data. But more than a year since the evacuation took place, the portal is still not online and there's no uniform process for sending your family's data over to them and getting them on a list for evacuation.
So Jessica, what about Masa? What is she doing now and what is she hoping for?
Her foster family have helped her apply for asylum. Other Afghan children who don't find that kind of support are trying to get their temporary status extended. Like all Afghans brought to the US last year, their right to remain in the country expires after 2 years and the Afghanistan Adjustment Act that is supposed to give the Afghan evacuees permanent status here hasn't passed Congress yet. So she's back in school and she's starting to do things that normal teenagers in the US do. Masa is 17 now. She's in school and she started working at a restaurant at the weekends. She said that she's sending money home from her job to help out her mom and siblings.
Last time that I talked to my mom was probably 2 weeks ago. And I told her that it's hard to live in USA. Probably it's hard because I like I'm alone, but when my mom came here, I think she will be okay. I hope so.
She's hoping that her mom and siblings can join her, but it's not clear how long that will take and how it will happen. In the meantime, her foster parents have hopes for her as well. They're helping her start life as a normal American teenager.
We've been taking her to parking lots already and showing her how to drive, and she's already learning very quickly, and it's very empowering to her. Her biggest hope is to have a car by the time she turns 18 in February. So we've been looking around for her, and we know that she's going to be on the road soon enough.
That's her foster mom, Caitlin Williams, and she's helping her get her life back together.
And Masa's story is one of many. There are other Afghan children like her.
Masa's one of just over 1,500 Afghan children that are in the U.S. without their parents, but there is an even larger number of parents and children who got left behind in Afghanistan and who are trying to get out and join their relatives here. So the situation is much bigger than just unaccompanied children. There's children with a mom or a dad or a sibling left behind as well. And while we don't track those numbers anecdotally, when you talk to Afghan refugees here, many of them left behind a spouse or a child or are living with somebody whose family got separated. And for them, it's a very long road.
That's Wall Street Journal foreign affairs reporter Jessica Donati. Jessica, thank you so much for your reporting and for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Pierre Bien-Aimé, Anthony Bansi, and Mohsen Ali, with help from Kate Bullivant, Julie Chang, Daniela Cheslow, Charlotte Gartenberg, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Michael Kosmides, Falana Patterson, and Chris Sinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.